Om Namah
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Excuse me. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, Elements of Material Creation, Verses 35 and 36. Are they both on the sheet, or is just one of them? 35. Okay. Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Tvata.
Tvata.
Paravrita.
Paravrita.
Diya.
Diya.
Swa.
Swa.
Kritai.
Kritai.
Karmapi.
Karmapi.
Prabho.
Prabho.
Uchavacha.
Uchavacha.
Yata.
Yata.
Deha.
Deha.
Grinanti.
Grinanti.
Visrijanti.
Visrijanti.
Cha. Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Tvata paravrita diya.
Tvata paravrita diya.
Svakritai karma bi prabho.
Svakritai karma bi prabho.
Uchchavachan yata deha.
Uchchavachan yata deha.
Grinanti visrijanti cha.
Grinanti visrijanti cha.
Shri Uddhava Vacha.
Shri Uddhava Vacha.
Tvata paravrita diya.
Tvata paravrita diya.
Svakritai karma bi prabho.
Svakritai karma bi prabho.
Uchchavachan yata deha.
Uchchavachan yata deha.
Grinanti visrijanti cha.
Grinanti visrijanti cha.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Tvata paravrita diya.
Tvata paravrita diya.
Svakritai karma bi prabho.
Svakritai karma bi prabho.
Uchchavachan yata deha. Vinanti visrijanti cha.
Vinanti visrijanti cha.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Uvacha.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Shri Uddhava said.
Shri Uddhava said.
Tvata.
Tvata.
From you.
From you.
Paravrita.
Paravrita.
Diverted.
Diverted.
Diya.
Diya.
Whose minds.
Whose minds.
Svakritai.
Svakritai.
Done by them.
Done by them.
Karmapi.
Karmapi.
By the fruit of activities.
By the fruit of activities.
Prabho.
Prabho.
O Supreme Master.
O Supreme Master.
Uchcha avacha.
Uchcha avacha.
Higher and lower.
Higher and lower.
Yata.
Yata.
In which way?
In which way?
Deha.
Deha.
Material bodies.
Material bodies.
Grinanti.
Grinanti.
They accept.
They accept.
Visrijanti.
Visrijanti.
Give up.
Give up.
Cha.
Cha.
And. So there's also verse 36 together with this verse. Tannamakya hi Govinda durvibhavyam anatmapi nahyetat prayasho loke vidvamsa santi vanchita. So, translation of both verses. Sri Uddhava said, O Supreme Master, the intelligence of those dedicated to fruitive activities is certainly deviated from you. Please explain to me how such persons accept superior and inferior bodies by their materialistic activities and then give up such bodies. O Govinda, this topic is very difficult for foolish persons to understand. Being cheated by illusion in this world, they generally do not become aware of these facts. Maybe men can just move forward a little bit. Thanks. Thank you. Purport. No one can be considered intelligent without understanding the science of God, which includes a description of the negative results of those who have forgotten their eternal relationship with Him. There are many so-called wise men in the world, but although considering themselves to be most intelligent, they generally do not surrender to the supreme intelligence of the Lord. Thus, they concoct varieties of philosophies according to their positions within the modes of nature. However, one cannot escape the influence of material nature through philosophy generated from that same illusory nature. Liberation is achieved by perfect knowledge coming from the spiritual platform, the kingdom of God. By faithfully hearing from Lord Krishna and his authorized representatives, one can easily achieve liberation and go back home, back to Godhead. Sri Uddhava Uvacha, Tvata Paravrita Diya Swakritai Karmabhi Prapo Uchavachan Yata Dehan Grinanti Visrijanti Cha Tan Mama Kyahi Govinda Durvi Bhavyam Anatmapi Nahyetat Prayasho Loke Vidvamsa Santi Vanchita. Sri Uddhava said, O Supreme Master, the intelligence of those dedicated to fruitive activities is certainly deviated from you. Please explain to me how such persons accept superior and inferior bodies by their materialistic activities and then give up such bodies. O Govinda, this topic is very difficult for foolish persons to understand. Being cheated by illusion in this world, they generally do not become aware of these facts. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastitya Deshitarani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakapa Trilubhiyas Chakripa Sindhu Vyavacha Vaditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, Lord Krishna is speaking the Uddhava Gita, and he has been responding to questions by Uddhava. At least initially in this chapter, they were questions about, as the chapter title says, the elements of material creation, all the different component ingredients that everything within this material world is made of. How to see them, what they are, and what is the position of the soul, and what is the position of the Supreme Lord in all these different arrangements, material arrangements within the material world. So Uddhava, just some few verses ago, his previous question, there was a series of questions really, but the final question was that it seems, at least many people feel that the situation is that the soul has entered into matter, specifically the material body, and the material environment, the whole material world, and has really become part of it. Not like a foreign entity moving in a foreign environment and interacting with the foreign environment, but has actually become part of the environment, has literally and directly merged with matter. And on the other hand, some people feel it's sort of the same thing, really, that matter has merged with the living entity. Or in other words, just everything has become material. When the living entity enters the material world, then everything becomes material, the living entity is overpowered and absorbed by matter. So Lord Krishna answered that. And now Uddhava is pursuing the same type of theme, developing the theme that when people are, well, he uses the term dedicated to fruitive activities, even if they haven't actually merged and become literally a part of it, if they're still independent in principle, but they are certainly dedicated. They have just resolved, I am going to make the most of life in this material world. Whatever pleasure I can squeeze out, I will squeeze out, and I am squeezing just to the nth degree as much as I am capable of squeezing. So they're dedicated. They're truly dedicated to material existence. So such people, they have intelligence. They have intelligence. They're doing so many things. As we know, the basic difference, the main difference between the animals and the human beings is that the human beings have more intelligence. And as a result of that one thing, as the result of that one thing, the human beings are ruling this world. They're ruling this world because of their intelligence, not because of their physical strength. Even if it were just a matter of physical strength, even a small dog, and what to speak of a big dog, but even a small dog can overpower a grown man. So and even like a larger dog, I don't know actually how many kilos a big Alsatian or something like that weighs, but it's definitely less than your average adult. But a dog like that can easily overpower even a big man. But because a human being has more intelligence, then all they have to do is take a gun, and that's the end of the dog. Even at a distance of 100 meters, perhaps, if they're good aims. So intelligence is really the point, not physical strength, not numbers, or whatever other considerations. Intelligence is the thing. So someone told me, and believe me, I did not see the film, okay, but someone who saw it told me that I think it was this famous heroic character, Indiana Jones. I don't know much about him, but I heard he's heroic. He got confronted once by some like giant sumo wrestler who had a sword, and that sumo wrestler did all sorts of like, what would you say, preparatory, you know, gestures and stances and waving the sword around, and it looked pretty bad. I think it was Indiana Jones, but Indiana Jones just pulled out a gun and shot it. Such is life in the material world. I am not recommending that you watch such movies at all. In fact, my recommendation is that you don't. But still, it just, you know, it's the same point. So people are intelligent. Intelligence is there. And on the material level, they're using intelligence so much. Nowadays, it is considered if you don't have a degree, you're out. You're nowhere. You just get matric, then you're nowhere. I remember when I first came to this country 30 years ago, some at least, young people wanted to join the temple, but they were at school. And they spoke to their parents, and their parents said, okay, just get matric, you can join the temple. Nowadays, my experience, in fact, objective experience, is that nowadays, also you get young people, they want to join the temple, and they speak to their parents, who may be nice enough, and the parents say, just get a degree, and then you can join the temple. Seriously. But, of course, the bad news is that in many parts of the world, even if you've got a degree, you can't get a job, because too many people got this idea. And all the, there's just a shortage of sort of higher level jobs. And even Jayananda Prabhu, the famous Jayananda Prabhu, late Jayananda Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he had a degree in engineering. He had a degree in engineering. And so he went to work at engineering, and it was just because it is as mundane could be, he just was not happy. So he gave it up and was just driving a taxi when he met Srila Prabhupada. And even when he became a devotee, he continued driving the taxi to get money to run the temple. So anyway, intelligence in human society, in life, you know, it is really, in many ways at least, the point is, the more intelligent, the more successful. At least it can easily be like that. And in many ways it is like that. So intelligence is there, and it's a very important factor. But Uddhava is expressing his realization that there's so many people dedicated to fruitive activities, and they're very intelligent, but their intelligence is deviated from you, my Lord Krishna. And as a result of that, they accept superior, inferior bodies up and down. It's just the whole situation, their whole situation is extremely unstable. In fact, by definition, even one could say, the most stable part of the existence of the conditioned soul, the most stable factor which is present there stably and constantly, is instability. Well, it's true. Instability. Up, down, sideways, around, backwards, inside out, and it's just the whole situation is unstable from day to day, even from moment to moment, as we mentioned the other day. Even while we have all been sitting here for the last 20 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever, our bodies have changed. Our bodies have changed in many ways. Our hair has grown a micron or two, or something like that. That samosa which you got from the Maha last night, it has moved down a little further. And the cells and atoms and whatnot, they have all also, some cells have died, and some have been born in whatever way cells do these things. But actually it's a fact. Actually it's a fact. Within each cell, we assume, is a jiva. Within this body in the last half hour, I don't know, but it may be 100, it might even be 1,000. But it's certainly a substantial number of living entities who are living within this our body. We are the main living entity. But there are many others within our bodies. Many of them have been born and many have died since we've been sitting here. This is a fact. You know, I was never a scientific person. I was more on the arts side. But these things, we know for a fact. And we are just one living entity within this body. We're just one. Of course, we consider ourselves to be much more important than the other little living entities which are inhabiting our body and, you know, doing whatever they're doing. But actually we're not. Just consider if all of us had suddenly died. Oh, that would be very significant. But now, in the last half hour, more than the number of us of other living entities equal to us in real spiritual terms, more than us assembled here, have died in just one of our bodies in the last half hour. So, there you go. So, the situation is very unstable. That is the most stable or sort of constant. The most inconstant factor in material existence is its inconstancy. There's a constant process of change going on. And Uddhava is asking, please explain how it's working. Particularly he's asking in terms of how all these people accept different bodies. Now he's being very generous in saying accept. Yes, it's just a cultured way of speaking. But simply they're being thrown and just dumped in different bodies. They're not even being asked, would you mind, let alone would you like? And then they just come out and find, gee whiz, I've got this body and you got that one, and gee, interesting. So Uddhava wants to know, these people are so intelligent, they really are, so many things they can do. Supposedly go to the moon and visit the man on the moon. And Srila Prabhupada met one gentleman once. The conversation is there. It was right around that time, the end of 1969, that the Americans supposedly went to the moon. Prabhupada was in Bombay, or somewhere in India. Prabhupada was somewhere in India and met one Indian man who was very, very appreciative of this whole moonshot program. And he was telling Srila Prabhupada that, oh, it's so wonderful. What was it? One step for man and one giant step for mankind, or whatever. And Pan Am, Pan American Airlines, they were, just shortly afterwards, actually selling tickets for the first passenger flight to the moon. Seriously. And this man was telling Prabhupada he wanted to buy a ticket and go to the moon on the first flight. Since then, of course, well, I don't know if you would be aware, but Pan Am went bankrupt. They no longer exist. Yeah, they no longer exist. So anyway, this man was telling Srila Prabhupada how wonderful this is, and I want to do it. I want to get a ticket on Pan Am and go on that flight, passenger flight to the moon. And Srila Prabhupada said, all right, you can do that. But once you get there, what are you going to do? And the man became a little sort of taken aback. What am I going to do when I get to the moon? And the man said, well, I'll stay a little while, then I'll come back. And Prabhupada said, why bother going if you're just going to come back? If you're going to go there, why don't you stay? And then the man became, like, defensive. Well, no, I have to come back. And Prabhupada was making the point, what's the point of going there? Why go there if you're going to come back? Just stay here. Anyway, the thing is, coming and going, higher body, lower body, similar body but different, and, you know, etc., etc. The whole picture of material existence, Uddhava's asking, please explain how they accept these different bodies. Well, Uddhava, as we mentioned, is just being nice about it, because they don't accept. Those bodies are imposed upon them, absolutely. And there is no opportunity to say, wait a minute, not one of them. I want one of them, please. Yes, sir. No. They're simply just forced to accept whatever material body it may be. And then after some time, even if they have grown to like that body, because this is often what happens, even they're put in a body which, if in the previous life, as say a human, they were asked, would you like such a body? They would have said, no. But anyway, they're put in the body. But then after some time, they adjust. Human beings, well, living entities, are very good at adjusting. So, after some time, they don't want to leave that body also. It becomes very disturbing that they have to leave that body. One devotee was telling me last night that when she first qualified in whatever, she was offered, the only post she could get was in Stanga. And she had to drive every day, and that's quite a drive, there and back every day. And she was thinking, oh no, this is terrible. Now she's been offered a post in Durban, but now she's thinking, oh no, I'm going to have to leave my post in Stanga. So, the capacity for the living entity to adjust, well, that's also quite outstanding and quite a prominent feature of material existence. As Srila Prabhupada pointed out, he was in hospital once in the early days, bedridden in a hospital in New York. In the bed next to him was a man who had been in some major car accident, and his body was just smashed, broken in many places. And so his whole body, practically, other than his face, was in plaster, and arms and legs were up in traction or whatever, that sort of situation. And Prabhupada was in the next bed, and that man's relatives came to visit him, and they asked him, you know, like the first, or it's automatic question time. Press the button. How are you? It's almost like an insult to ask someone in that situation that question. But it's just automatic question. An automatic answer? Fine. So Uddhava asks the Lord, he's asking the Lord to explain how this all works. And then he concludes by saying, this is very difficult for foolish people to understand. Why? Because of their foolishness, they are cheated by illusion. They're cheated by illusion. And therefore they just go from one situation to another, and they just carry on and they don't, you know, what would you say, go on strike against material existence. That's what we have done. That's what becoming a devotee means. It means you've gone on strike against material existence. I am just not going down tools. Yeah. It's a revolution. We're not going to take it any longer. This is what becoming a devotee means. I read a definition, or a description of what it takes for a person to become, to participate in a revolution, meaning like really actively. And the description or whatever was, when living becomes worse than dying, then people will actually become revolutionary. Because being a revolutionary means you're facing death every moment of the day. So devotee means a person who's had that realization that this material existence is too much. It is simply actually too much. And I cannot go on any longer in it. And that's it. And I have to change. I have to change. And I am changing. So this is how Uddhava presents this. So in the purport, it is being pointed out that we have all these people that are supposedly very intelligent with their technology and their economic science and actuarial science and all these types of things, that nuclear science and all these things. And they're supposedly very intelligent, but the purport begins, no one can be considered intelligent without understanding the science of God. Srila Prabhupada made a distinction sometimes between real intelligence and what Srila Prabhupada called material cleverness, as distinct from real intelligence. Real intelligence means to understand the truth, even though it may be difficult. Well, it takes intelligence, so it is difficult. But real intelligence means you have actually understood the truth. Whereas material cleverness, Prabhupada distinguished material cleverness from real intelligence by saying that you don't understand the real truth, but still you can manipulate the illusory, untrue situation quite expertly. And in that way, you can have a better illusion than someone else's illusion. My illusion is better than yours. Silly fool. And Prabhupada also related. Prabhupada would give the example of prisoners in a jail. Someone is in solitary confinement. It's very austere. Someone is in the normal cell. It's better. But then there's someone in some special, like maybe house arrest, or they're still, technically they're in jail. Or within the jail, perhaps they may have some like deluxe cells. and your friends can come and see you anytime. Mm. And, you know, you've got your own television and you got get the newspapers and so many things that you might want. So the prisoners in solitary confinement, even the normal prisoners, might think, oh, look at this, and become envious of the person in the deluxe cell. But the thing is, they're all in jail. So what's the point? The real point is, you've got to get out of jail. You can't stay in a jail. It's just, your life cannot be complete at all. So material cleverness, just able to manipulate the illusory material world to have a nicer illusion. What is the value of that in reality? There's no actual value to that. But these so-called intelligent people, they feel it's very valuable. Bigger house and better TV and better motor car and more motor cars and so on and so forth. All the trappings of material existence, more of material things. So, but this is not real intelligence. This is just material cleverness. And therefore, these people just get caught up in one material situation after another, and they cannot extract themselves, and sooner or later they're thrown down into lower species, and then it really is a very unpleasant situation, extremely painful and extremely difficult, extremely uncomfortable. So these people, with their intelligence, their different types of intelligence, some have intelligence in the mode of goodness, some in passion, some in tamagun. These so-called intelligent people, they concoct different philosophies about life, because, and Prabhupada also made this point, people may say that they're not into philosophy, but everyone is a philosopher. Because even if a person is simply just an outright hedonist, sense gratifier, it is based on a philosophy. The philosophy is that I am this body. Happiness comes from sense gratification. Therefore, I try to get sense gratification as much as possible. It's a philosophy. It's not true. It's just an idea. It is not a truth. It is not truth. They may feel it is self-evident truth, but actually it is not self-evident truth. Because the thing is that through the process of sense gratification, even though they get some pleasure, but they get a lot of suffering, a lot of struggle, a lot of pain. So it is simply a philosophy, actually. It's simply a philosophy that I am this body, this world is here for me to enjoy. Therefore I will enjoy, and this is my business in life. It is a philosophy. So they come up with different philosophies. People in the mode of goodness, they come up with a philosophy like green everything, save the whales, save the rainforests, and no global warming, deindustrialize, or at least sort of re-industrialize, redo industrialization so it becomes green, and you know, less carbon footprint, and all this. This is basically a type of sattvic philosophy. A rajasic philosophy is like, who was it? Bhaskar from India? Whatever you do, get ghee.
Was it
Chavak?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Chavak Muni. What is life for? Enjoyment. And how do you enjoy? Eat. And things are better to eat if they're cooked in ghee. My apologies to any sunflower oil fans. But actually, if you want things to taste the best, cook them in ghee. So Chavak Muni's philosophy is, whatever you do, get ghee. Just get ghee. And then a tamagun philosophy is, yeah, just, it's not worth the trouble, just sleep. Nothing's worth the trouble, just sleep. Standing up is not worth the trouble. Stay horizontal. It's a philosophy. So they concoct all these different philosophies. And therefore you've got Western philosophy, which is, you know, many, many different ideas, many different ideas about life. What is life? And some are more sattvic, some are more rajasic, and some are more tamasic. Just like Prabhupada said, when people in the different modes of nature visit, for example, well, any place, but Prabhupada gives the example of a forest, depending on their position in the modes of nature, they will come up with different ideas of what to do in the forest. A person in goodness will feel, you know, we will come and just be very peaceful and just, you know, live nicely in the forest. Someone in the mode of passion will come and measure the trees and count the trees. How many cubic meters of wood can we get out of this if we cut the forest down? And therefore, how much money will we get? Whereas a tamasic person will think, you know, let me find a nice place to sleep in the forest where no one will bother me. Cool. Yes. So, they're called intelligent, at least, you know, the ones who are meant to be relatively more intelligent. But it's just a type of material cleverness, and they miss the actual point. They miss the actual point. The whole paradigm is completely infested, saturated with fault, and therefore is hopeless. Therefore it's hopeless. It's not just not so good, it's actually hopeless. You may have heard the famous story about paradigm shift. Sridhar Maharaj would give this as an example of the need for paradigm shift. The admiral heading up the fleet of ships, American Navy, extremely important, steaming across the sea. At night, a blip comes up on the radar. There's another ship right in our path. We're going to collide. So they quickly radio the other ship. Hey, you, move. Get out of the way. And the message comes back from the other ship. No, you move. To the admiral. And the admiral says that I am Admiral such and such of the American 7th Fleet, and I'm telling you to move. And the message comes back, I am ordinary seaman XYZ, and I am telling you to move. And anyway, the admiral, I forget the exact details, the admiral sends back the message, I am a battleship, move, you move. And the message comes back, I am a lighthouse. There was a need for a paradigm shift. Paradigm means the basic sort of fundamental concept of what is reality. So there's a need for a paradigm shift to include Krishna in the picture. Otherwise, whether you are Nobel Peace Prize, multi-PhD, or anything, MAD, well, you'd just end up MAD, Master of Architecture and Design. And you'll just fail within this material world. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Shri Guru. Any comment or question? Or no. Comment or comment?
Sounds pretty good.
Okay.
Stick with the
ghee. Okay. Yeah. More ghee would be good.
Paradigm shift. So I also have to be willing to make a shift when we realize things are different.
Yes, well, the realization has to be clear enough.
Be clear, else I keep.
Like if it's a lighthouse, then it's clear. But if it's just, well, we can adjust things, you know, and have another go at material existence. It means even though you had a sort of, you know, a bit of a wake-up call, but you didn't really wake up enough. Yeah. You still think you can just re-engineer things and carry on with material life.
When you're talking about intelligence, I was just thinking one of the biggest things now in science and technology today is they're putting so many billions of dollars into artificial intelligence. They're going to have robots, they're going to make robots, they're going to make robots, they're going to make robots. And so you can just see where people are actually going. Everything is artificial. They have a solution that everything is just going to be created from something.
Right.
Something's going to be created, illusion's going to be created from illusion.
Yes.
And then the other thing I was talking to, when I was just some books last week at the Shankar Marimbo, it was like a really good day. It was the day after Christmas. And I figured people were really fired up to go into the starter place. You know? So I decided, well, I took my little video of people as they were standing in the queue. And they look really fired up to get inside, and ask each individual person, so what is the meaning of life? Is there something more to eating, sleeping, going to work? And you'll be surprised, just about every person said to be with the family, to enjoy, to ask them, so what are you going to do when you get in there? Swim, What are you going to do after it? Swim? Unbelievable. I'm also missing the point. I'm also missing the point, maybe. At least I know that he is the solution to the missing point. In Srila Prabhupada's book. I'm not perfect. I'm not 100% perfect, but I know that he's there.
Well, I know one devotee, or I knew one devotee. He was a householder. He worked in Disneyland. He worked there. And he was always there every day, basically. And, yeah, he said, you know, you get all these families and people coming in like, the promise of enjoyment has been fulfilled. Here we are. Disneyland. But for him, it was just work. And he knew how all the things worked, the different rides and whatever, displays, and that the people behind it, they're not happy. And so it's like, why bother? He said, if I, you know, when I get time off to be with my family, I will not take them to Disneyland. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.